Hello everyone, this is Thomas, and welcome to another episode of Once Upon a Time, the unofficial guide. I'm accompanied by my fabulous guest and commentator,
Christina.
Thank you for joining me, but unfortunately, folks, there won't be an episode this week because this week's episode of Once Upon a Time was a heap of garbage. And we have nothing to talk about, so that's all, folks. Thanks for checking in. Bye.
Not all of it was garbage, but...
Most of it.
Yeah, 95%.
No, that's a huge percentage.
I could have done without the bromance.
Yeah, they were hyping it up, like, or hinting and talking about it in articles like it was going to be something special, like something worth watching, and honestly felt it was a little flat. I felt the chemistry just wasn't there.
Exactly. I mean, they had about maybe 3 or 4 minutes of interesting forward moving plot, but the rest was just David and Arthur going off on this little quest to find a shroom.
Yeah.
That looked like something from the Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. It's a very cartoony shroom. I feel like the writers were so concerned with making them seem like cute together, like two like innocent friends, that like there was no real conflict. They could have injected their scenes together with a little conflict, like how David hasn't had the chance to be, you know, doing like quests or being a hero. They could have played that up and showed him like just really getting excited, which would have been a great thing, because by the midpoint of the episode, where we find out that Arthur is not to be trusted, it would have been like, oh, but there's so much, they have something real in all of this, you know what I mean? It would have been a better payoff, a better reveal, is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
I mean, I was, from the beginning, I wasn't sure if I trusted Arthur or not. I've always, from the beginning of this season, I felt like Guinevere is the one that's not to be trusted. And we still don't know whether she's the mastermind behind Arthur's choices, trying to kind of sway him in making certain decisions or not. But I'm not sure whether Arthur I wouldn't label him as a villain, even though, you know, his motive or his actions have been misguided. Because it seems so far like everything he's done has been in the name of Camelot. He's trying to better his kingdom and
do whatever it takes.
Right.
You know, and certain things have to be done and for the betterment of his kingdom.
Well, and even Snow and Charming and other seasons have talked about, you know, well, do we save one person and let everyone else die? Or do we save everyone else and let one person die? And they've had to make some difficult choices in other seasons too. And as a ruler of a realm, you have to put other people's needs ahead of your own and think of the greater good for everyone and not just one or two people.
Right. I'm well, in regards to that, I'm questioning, like, is this a matter of, is he and the people who are, you know, helping him rule Camelot, are they so blinded by the sense of almost like nationalism or, you know, pride in Camelot that, and going based off the episode's title, Siege Perilous, are they just ruthless and power hungry and will stop at nothing to advance Camelot or what? You know, what are the motivations here? And who do you trust?
Exactly. I mean, because as of right now, we don't know how Lancelot was able to evade Cora, or if she was just lying the whole time and she never even met Arthur, or I mean, met Lancelot, Or, you know, was he in cahoots with Cora to get away? So we don't know whether or not we can trust Lancelot, even though, you know, he helped Snow and Charming in the past.
I feel like in this this season, the writers have been redirecting our attention or directing the viewer's attention as many different, you know, avenues as they can, so that it becomes very difficult to pinpoint, okay, this is the bad guy, this mm-hmm. is the baddie, this is, you know, oh, this is where the plot's heading. There seems to be a lot of genuine mystery shrouding right. this season, and a lot of potential, like, there's a lot of just different directions I could see characters going, the plot going, and
Even last season, we knew that, you know, Elsa was going to be good, and that the Snow Queen was, you know, quote unquote evil, even though, you know, her actions were just misguided and she just wanted a family. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, it's
right now the definitive things that we know about the characters and the plot are, you know, the Charmings and everyone from Storybrooke, they're the main players, and especially Arthur is the antagonist. So he's just there to get in everyone's way.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if he's a villain? Who knows if he is, if there's any malice? But mm-hmm. so far, we just know that everyone from, or most of the people from Camelot are going to make the journey to Emma becoming the savior again and having light a little bit rough.
Right.
And also, just going based on the initial time when we first see Arthur and how he's like, well, he was so sure of himself. I'm mm-hmm. going to, you know, release the sword from the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was counting on it to take back to his kingdom. I feel like that's a little clue to his character as well. You know?
Right. A little bit of arrogance, I mm-hmm. think. And
entitlement mm-hmm. as well. You know,
definitely.
Almost like manifest destiny
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if Arthur was, you know, a true villain, I don't feel like he would have been able to pull the sword from the stone at all. Because Emma tried to do it, and as we know, she was the savior, but now as the Dark One, she wasn't able to pull even the portion of that sword from the stone, because we know that the sword has been, you know, divided into two parts.
Mm-hmm. But I also wonder how the sword was returned to the stone, and what is it doing in that room? Like, what was the story with that? If the only reason it's in the stone is because it's waiting to fulfill someone's prophecy,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, it's the visual, physical representation of someone taking on a new role in their lives.
Right.
You know? That could be something.
I mean, because we see Emma trying to make over Rumpelstiltskin now as a hero in order to further her end
mm-hmm.
and her plans and designs. But I don't, in my opinion, I think it's going to be Regina that has to pull the sword from the stone, because she's the new savior.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's proven herself, you know, for the last few seasons to be a hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like because Emma can't manipulate Regina, that's why she chose Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. Well, let's talk about how Emma, let's talk about her meeting with Hook and how she tried to manipulate and play him. I will give it to her. She has that sense of confidence that she can. I think she's still learning how to play people. But she's still got that sense of, like, well, you know, I'm the Dark One. I can do whatever I want,
mm-hmm.
whether I'm the best at it right now or not.
Right.
But what were your reactions and about the
Well, I've never shipped Captain Swan. I feel like he was a good interim boyfriend, but I didn't foresee anything long-term or lasting, and they never really had a chance to date. We saw them go out on one date. Every other time they've been together, it's either been to save someone or they've been on some form of quest or whatever. They've never really taken time to just, you know, hang out together. And I've always shipped Swanwood, Pinocchio, oh, yeah, and Emma, because
I like that. Swanwood, can we just pause? This is happening. Hashtag Swanwood.
Exactly. Because when, I mean, not just because they both came over in the tree or the wardrobe together, but because they were able to form a friendship and they both have a lot in common. They both had to basically raise themselves. They can relate to each other on a variety of levels, and they both did take time to form a friendship.
Yeah.
And he even referred to her as his friend. And we know from a previous season that he does have feelings for Emma. He just hasn't been able to express them. And we know now he won't express them while she's with Captain Hook. But now that they're not together, I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that they will finally have a chance to be together. Because Emma asked Hook if he loved her, and he said, you know, he loved her in using the past tense, not current. So, and she, it took her forever just to tell him that she loved him. So I really don't think that they are, that Hook is her true love.
Right. And I mean, she's pulled away from Hook enough to really, you know, prevent their, because even though they were thrown together on these adventures and quests, that still, you know, creates a bond between two people. And there was definite chemistry between them, but that's prevented, you know, it doesn't go any further. It doesn't flourish. It doesn't thrive when she continually rejects him or pushes away, you
and
know.
When he kissed her, it didn't break the curse.
Yeah, yeah.
And Belle had said, you know, that she had, when she kissed Rumpelstiltskin, that it had started to break the curse, but it wasn't able to finish, and nothing happened with Emma.
Yeah.
So again, to me, that just proves again that Hook is not her true love.
I will say, at the end of all of this, I feel even more sympathetic towards Hook. Like, I've always been sort of ambivalent about their relationship, but I do feel bad for him because he ended up being truly noble, and I think he really sort of started to redeem himself in terms of everything he's done to Rumpel and just all around becoming a good person. And
I would like to see him get his happy ending, just not with Emma.
Right. Well, and especially since it wouldn't be deserved, because they both, Emma's, you know, worked so hard at building up the wall, and, you know, it was really a relationship based on, like, power struggle. Like, he seeking out to, dismantle the wall, and her seeking to put it up again. And it was a constant back and forth of, like, and like, how can you sustain that? And
that's not any form of a relationship.
No. But I mean, yeah, not to get into, like, relationship, like, drama or anything. But it was just, like, as a viewer, like, I just felt like, well, it's cute. And I'm glad that, you know, she has someone to, at least, who's at least there. But now this is, like, you know, a great opportunity for the both of them to move on. And and the way that it was written in the scene where it's just ended with, you know, well, what about the Jolly Roger? And she says it's yours and poofs away. I thought that was a great moment.
Exactly. So now Hook's free to, you know, find a happy ending. So even, you know, if he's trying to help Emma, he can still get a happy ending without her.
So let's talk about Rumpel.
Okay.
And let's talk about Emma and Rumpel.
I'm happy he's awake now, because it was just getting boring without having him, you know, up and about besides just in Emma's head.
Yeah. I think that since it's Rumpelstiltskin pre-Dark Kurt or Dark One, mm-hmm. it's going to be very interesting because she had to, like, he was so frightened of her and she almost had to, like, pull him by his hair to just, like, get him to, like, pay attention and not, like, you know, piss his pants. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be hilarious, you know, just dragging his feet. You know.
Seeing a former savior turn dark one, try and transform a former dark one into a hero.
Who is, basically, his nature is cowardice.
Exactly. And, you know, now she has to manipulate him to turn him into a hero just because she can't get Regina to do her bidding and pull that sword from the stone.
Yeah. I also wonder how...
Or Arthur.
Right. And I wonder how this is going to play out with Belle, because between mm-hmm. the two of them, does this mean that... I mean, is he going to be... Are his feelings still there for Belle? And what is Belle going to do to, or try to do, to Emma?
I have no idea.
Like, I have a feel, like, this is what I want to happen this season. I want Belle to get pissed and, like, just, like, go crazy and be like, how, like, it's good that Rumpel's awake, mm-hmm. but, you know, just the mind trip that he's not in his, like, little bed or whatever, mm-hmm. the lounge, and just, like, now she has to deal with this man, and I just want her to take charge and be, like, the total boss in the relationship and wear the pants.
The dominant one.
Yeah.
The alpha woman.
Exactly. Speaking of alpha women, can we talk about Zelina and Regina?
Okay, so again, I know we've talked about this on other podcasts, but again...
It is ridiculous.
Okay, so the sonogram that Robin had was extremely detailed. Like, it showed the baby's head. You could kind of see, like, the outline of the body. Yet, Zelina is still not showing at all. So... I'm wondering, okay, you know, is she somehow, does she still have the ability to use magic and she's just been, like, masquerading as not being able to do anything this whole time?
Or is she somehow in cahoots with Nurse Ratchet, who uh-huh. is not the most savory of people?
Right.
You know, maybe Nurse Ratchet's like, yeah, whatever you need, hon. I'm exactly. just as twisted as you are.
I mean, because that sonogram could have been taken from anybody else. That could have been Mary Margaret's with Prince Neil. It could have been Cinderella's with her baby, Alexandria. Anybody who has been in Storybrooke and had a baby, it could be a picture of their kid. If that sonogram is that detailed, she should be showing by now.
And baby Neil... then should be growing a mustache and beard.
He should at least look like he's about, you know, between 4 and 6 months old. And from the way that they're holding him, it still looks like he's under 3 months old.
I don't know. It's not as annoying as not seeing
Zelina.
Well, not seeing Zelina what?
Well, I mean, just, you know, if they really want her to be pregnant, they need to give her some form of a baby bump because this is getting really old really fast. You can't have a detailed picture of her with, you know, in a sonogram and then not have any form of baby bump whatsoever. That doesn't make any sense. So either she's got some, you know, big masterminded plan that she's using to try and escape and get away from everybody and fooling them into believing that she's pregnant. Because Regina told her, you know, essentially Regina told her that once the baby's born, she's, you know, it sounded to me like Regina was going to kill her.
Yeah.
So either, you know, she's trying to just play it off and get, you know, have more time to... develop this, you know, big plan of escape or...
and stay alive.
Right. Or, you know, people have just not, you know, thought this through and have
I wonder
just not
given if
her
this is
bump.
Like their first pregnancy on the show that wasn't like an actual pregnancy, like no, I mean like the actress that you know,
you know what I mean? That's true.
So they're like, but then they should know by now. So I don't know. Speaking of babies, little Lily and Maleficent and Arthur, we still believe that Arthur's the daddy. And
baby daddy,
they're trying to keep it from us. They're not dropping any hints whatsoever, but they can't hide Maleficent or Lily
forever.
What are they doing? So in future, I would love to see what they've been up to, and not just like, oh, hey guys, we're here, how convenient. Like, no, I want the episode to also explain why they were absent and why they haven't been in communication with,
and what they've been doing, what they did for those 6 weeks that everybody else was in Camelot, because obviously they didn't go.
I am deeply, deeply dissatisfied with this episode. That's putting
no
it
more
nicely.
Romance. No more promise.
I don't want to see the two of them cavorting unless it has substance. They need to try harder.
Exactly. I want it to further the plot, not just, oh, well, we found a shroom and now we're going to be able to communicate with Merlin. I want more than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, catch us next week, and hopefully next week it's going to be a better viewing experience.
Exactly. I want more drama.
This has been the Once Upon a Time, this has been Once Upon a Time, the unofficial guide, and you can catch us on iTunes every week. Go ahead and comment, subscribe, rate, share with your friends, and thanks for listening.